conversations about Jesus, conversations with Jesus. Yeah? Conversations about, conversations with. The other day, this week, I was walking through the woods with a boy that I was looking after. As we were walking along, he was chatting away through the, because we'd met up at K2, and we were walking up through the forest to my house, and the sun was shining, and we were walking along, and he was very polite, very pleasant little boy, and chatting away, and then he said to me, "Dave, do you want me to be quiet? Am I talking too much?" I said, "No, keep talking." Because I'm guessing gets told to be quiet a lot. Yeah. So he kind of suddenly became aware that he'd been talking nonstop. And I said, "No, talk as much as you want." And I often think it's great if they can chat. "And chat away," I said. "Talk." And then he said, "Oh, it's nice that we can do this. But if you don't want to, we don't need to do this." Because he's all being like, I said, "No, I can't think of anything better to be doing than having a nice walk and chat in the forest. Who can think of something? That's really nice, isn't it?" So, anyway, but just chatting. Well, he was doing most of the talking, and he was. And it's really nice. And I think it's nice to let children talk, and rather than telling them to be quiet all the time. But sometimes you have to, obviously. But sometimes it's nice to let them talk. And where we walking along, walking and talking in the forest, and it was lovely, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But conversations about and with Jesus, and I'd like to look at the Book of John, and perhaps I'll start from chapter 1, verse 32. So it's John. We're talking about John. There's two Johns in John. One's John the Baptist, and one's John the disciple. Yeah. So we could get. So then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove, and remain on him. I would not have known him." So he's talking about Jesus, "except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me." So that's the Holy Spirit. "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." So that's John the Baptist speaking about Jesus. So Jesus was this figure that he wouldn't really recognize anything special about. But God had spoken to John the Baptist's heart and said, "When you see, like the Spirit, like a dove, come down on this person and stay on them, that is the one. That is the Son of God. That is the chosen one. That is the anointed one." So, let's move on to the next bit. "The next day, John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God,'" or the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God. And that phrase, "the Lamb of God," would have been taken from an understanding of what Moses had written. So when it sometimes says Moses and the prophets spoke of him, a phrase like "the Lamb of God" would have come from Moses, because it was the Lamb of God. So, "Look, the Lamb of..." And they would know. Someone else would go, you what? "The Lamb of God? What are you talking about?" But someone else would understand, the Lamb of God. He's the sacrifice. And even then, they probably didn't fully understand the Lamb of God. They might have just thought, yeah. They kind of half would start to understand what he's talking about. But the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist was the forerunner, and he was teaching. He had his own disciples there. But if you notice, So he says this to two of, he was there with two of his disciples. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. So those were two of John the Baptist's disciples. So they were following John the Baptist. They were hanging out with him. John the Baptist was teaching him. And then John the Baptist says, hey, you see that guy over there? He's the Saviour. And these two guys with John the Baptist go, oh, I want to go and find out a bit more about him. And so John the Baptist, who was their teacher, their leader, they were following John the Baptist. John the Baptist was teaching them. They suddenly go and follow. I wonder, what do you think John the Baptist felt at this point? Did he feel, oh, my disciples are going after him? No, because he knew his role, didn't he? He knew he was the forerunner of the Saviour. So in a sense, he was preparing these disciples for a bigger mission. So when they, he probably, I mean, obviously, he might have had a bit of like, oh, they're going. But he would have actually thought, good on them. I've started them off and now they're going to take on the baton further. So they go, and then when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? Do you know what? It's often what Jesus asks. When you look at the stories of Jesus, he often said, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Why do you think he asks, what do you want? Because have a little think now, just for a minute, sitting on your tables for a sec. You're sitting in a park. Imagine you're sitting in a park and you're on a bench and this figure comes along. Now, it could be a vision, it could be real, doesn't matter. And somehow in your heart, you know it's Jesus, right? You know it's Jesus. Weird though that sounds. Comes and sits by you. What do you say? I caught you on the spot a bit here because, you know, you could say, yeah, well, that's prayer. But Jesus has come and sat next to you. First of all, what do you think you would say? Oh, hello. But would you, there might be something in you that might not say hello, Jesus, because you kind of know it is, but he's like a stranger, isn't he? So you might say, hello, hello. What's next? Are you from here? Are you from around these? You know what I mean? It'd be a sort of awkward conversation because you'd be thinking, I think I know who you are, but I feel a bit, I can't say hello, Jesus, in case you're not. And then it's awkward. And then they're like, they're laughing at me. He's just got a beard or something. One of the girls says they got a teacher at school who they call Jesus because he's got a beard. He looks, you know, it's how they imagine, because she said, he looks just like Jesus. And I think, how do you know what Jesus looked like? And when we went to Iran, and we went to the big church in Iran. We got Easter Sunday, and one of the guys was getting crucified. You know, like there's a play they put on, and he had a beard and all that. And all we could call him was Jesus. But later on, he gave us his testimony. But I was wondering, in this awkward conversation, what would we say to Jesus? And what would our conversation with Jesus be? What might we ask? What might we say to him? So, hello, hello, and you've worked out, oh yeah, okay, you are Jesus. What might you say then? Putting you all on the spot, because you don't know really until you'd be there, would you? But what might you say? Hello, yeah. What would you like to ask him? Anything awkward you'd like to ask him?
Yes, am I saved?
Are you saved? Well, fair enough. Anything else?
I might say I'm really sorry for all the things I've done.
I'm really sorry for all that I've done. Anyone else? Because it's interesting because often, because you could sort of go all a bit funny and go, you could ask him some sort of, I was thinking like, Jesus, do you think there are people actually going to live on Mars one day? You know, like some people might ask a sort of random, just sort of like, oh, I don't know what to say, I've got to say something. And you know everything, so are people going to live on Mars one day? So, you know, because he had conversations all the time, didn't he, Jesus? He met people and chatted with them. And we'll go through some of these that he met with these disciples. And he says to these, what do you want? And I sometimes think, if he said to me, what do you want? Or if I asked him a question, like you said, am I saved? Or, Jesus, are you happy with me? Are you happy with what I'm doing? Do you want to ask that question? Yeah. Jesus, is there anything I could do for you? It's a bit risky, isn't it? Do you think that's a good question to ask? Should I do something? Can I do something for you? Yes. Sell up all your possessions and go and give it to the poor. Oh. That was in the Bible, isn't it? So, you know, sometimes we have that sort of negative thing that we think, what if he said, Dave, I think you should go and be a missionary in Saudi Arabia. Gutted now. No, but sometimes we worry about these, like if we ask him, he's going to sort of say, Dave, I'm a bit disappointed in you. I want you to do this. So, I don't know, because he does say things. What I think Jesus does, with some, he lifts them up, and it depends on your heart attitude, because what I think is, if you're seeking and searching and chasing after him, he'll draw that out. He'll bring you on. Now, what happens in the Bible, you've got three lots, but you get those that are searching and chasing, and they're asking questions. Now, the questions they're asking are learning questions. But then you get the ones who think they're smarter, and they're trying to catch Jesus out. So they're not actually asking anything to learn more. They're asking to try and catch Jesus out and to show how smart they are. So you get two attitudes, and usually with the ones who are trying to show how clever they are and how and outsmart Jesus and trick him or get him into trouble, he's usually quite hard on them and puts them right. But the people who are genuinely searching or open, and some people are just caught open, he brings out the truth and he brings out the goodness. And so it depends on our attitude when we talk to Jesus, of what he brings out of you. So with these two, now when you read it, I'm reading John, the Gospel of John, but if you read it in some of the other books, the same story, he just sees, it says like, he was by the lake, he saw them, and he said, come follow me, and they followed him. It's as cold as that, but really I think it's not as cold as that. That's just a fact. He says, come follow me, and they followed him. Like, hey, we're fishing today. Oh, there's Jesus. Oh, I'll follow him. It's not as they were searching for the Saviour, because they were with John the Baptist already. They were like looking out for him. And when John the Baptist says, there's the guy that we're looking for, they chase after him. So it's not just random. Oh, he comes across these fishermen fishing, says, give up your business, follow me. And they go, yeah, all right, follow you. I know. Never thought about it before, and I'm just going to give up. They are seeking. They're seeking. Those ones are. So when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which is teacher, where are you staying? I thought it's a kind of a sensible sort of, but not too interesting thing. Where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So in a way, can we spend a bit of time with you? Where are you? Is it feasible that we can come and hang out with you for a bit? Just check you out a little bit. See, that's what I think. They just wanted to sort of check this out for themselves. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. So they actually went and hang around with him for a bit of time, for a day. Perhaps asking him stuff, seeing how he was, checking it out. You know, because John the Baptist, is he right? Let me go and have a look. Let's go and see. So they go and hang around with him. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. Now, if we read it in the other Gospels, it's like this. There's Simon Peter there. Jesus comes along and says, follow me, and they follow him. But actually, this is a bit of a background to what's building. So what we see is Andrew is a disciple following a bit of John the Baptist and fishing. They like doing a bit of both, but they're open, they're listening. And as soon as Andrew works this out, he says, goes and tells his brother Peter, come, I found the Messiah, the Saviour, the one that we're looking for. So Andrew gets Peter. So do you know what, guys? Sometimes we might not be... So who do you think's the most famous one, Andrew or Peter? Peter. He's the famous one that we all read about. We all know he's a bit of a character, Peter. But Andrew said, come, I found the Saviour. So as Andrew brings him to Jesus, you see? And that's a role that we can all play in our conversations. You want to find? I'll show you who Jesus. You know, I'll show you the Savior. So that's, we can talk about Jesus in a simple way. We can just say, "Come." And you know what? When I looked at the church today, and it's so full of kids, children, even. When it's full of children, that's lovely, because that's saying, "Come, come. I'll show you Jesus. I'll show you the Savior." Yeah. So that's good. That's a good thing. And that's a good priority in our lives to say, come, I want to show you Jesus, the Saviour. And so that's a little thing that we can do. Come. And then you don't know what they're going to turn into, do you? But you might be, you know, just bringing them to Jesus. You might say to a friend, come. We never remember who you are, but this person becomes famous. I hear it sometimes on our Thought for the Day or Bible in 1 year. They talk about the person who brought Billy Graham to Christ. Well, Billy Graham's the famous one, but someone introduced him to Jesus, didn't they? So it's the same sort of thing. We all have a part to play, and it just might be, come, let me show you. Talking about Jesus. Do you know, yesterday, I was, they probably won't thank me for saying this, but we were, these two were with me, I picked them up from town, and we drove home, and got in the house, and just sorting a few things out. Next thing, minute, one goes, oh, I've lost my phone. I lost your phone? How do you lose your phone? Me, I would easily lose my phone, but people who hang on to their phones all the time, I don't know how they lose it. So anyway, so I said, oh, check in the car. It's not in the car. Check in your bag. Oh, it's not in the bag. I said, well, oh, I said, are we going to have to go back to town to try and find it? So we jump in the car and we're driving into town. She's like, oh, what if we can't find it? What if it's gone? What if it's stolen? And then she says, oh, we could pray. I said, yeah, we could. You can. People do pray. I said, we can say, thank God, help me find my phone. So pray she did in her own quiet way. I don't know what she said. And I did, quietly, my own way. But I said, yeah, you can. People do it. Drive into town, phone's not there. Go into the railway station. There it is, in front, on charge, with her picture on the front. So she didn't need to prove it was her because we got it back straight away. So someone had handed it in. And because it was dead, the lady in the kiosk had plugged it in. And she said, someone just handed it in now. And there's her pocket money in the case. So there you go. So a little something. Where does that go? Don't say I said it now, because I'd embarrass her. So I just leave those little things run, eh? But there we go. So little things, little conversations we have about and for can have an impact, can't they? They can grow. God can grow those things. Yeah? Little conversations, we can just say little things, and you think it's not going in, but it can, and it does. Yeah, so think sitting on the bench, what would we say? I don't know. So he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which translated is Peter, or which would be translated to English would be rock. So actually, he wouldn't be called Peter. You know what we'd be calling him? Rocky. Really, wouldn't we? We call him the Rock. Do we know any actors called the Rock? Yeah? He'd be called the Rock. That's what his name would be in English. He'd be the Rock. He wouldn't be called Peter. He'd be called the Rock in English. And that's what his name was, the Rock. So Peter was the Rock. The next day, so we've gone on the next day. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. So we don't know much about that. Now, some of us watched a program called The Chosen, didn't we? Did you remember watching The Chosen? And some people might not have liked The Chosen because they tried to build up a background story, didn't they? To try and help people understand. And in a way, some of this is like the background. John is writing a little bit of the background. But we don't always know the background story of where they got to where they were when Jesus suddenly said, come. And they go, yeah, okay. There'll be a background story of why they suddenly responded when he said, come follow me. And he said, yeah, okay, I'll follow you. Because if someone said to you, oh, follow me, what would you do? Be like that. You what? See, so, if you had been working something out, and then you went and saw someone, and they said, I'll follow them on Instagram. Oh, yeah, okay. Because that's what people do now, don't they? But why do you follow them? Because there's an interest, isn't there? There's some sort of interest. Why do you follow someone on Instagram? I don't, but you know, I'm talking about something I don't know about. But anyway, on that Instagram business. But you follow someone because you're interested in what they do. And so when we watch The Chosen, whether this background story is correct, but they're trying to make sense so that you understand what happened in it. So if you watch it thinking, well, it might not have been quite like this, but there is a reason probably why this happened and that happened. Yeah? Because it's not just like it's weird stuff. So he says to Philip, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. So they probably all hung around together. They talked about, I'm guessing, speculation here, they're all from the same town or village. They all knew each other. They probably went and heard John the Baptist. They were talking about the Messiah. They knew about all this stuff. So when Jesus comes, they kind of, they've heard about it. The talk is gone. And so when he says, follow me, he goes, yeah, all right. So because they were all from the same place. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So we have to look at what they wrote in the law. Well, what Moses wrote is about the sacrifice, so the Lamb of God and various other bits and pieces, but there's an example. All the sacrificial stuff, it was all pointing to Jesus, so they kind of knew that there was something here. So this is all they had, because they didn't have all the scriptures that we have. They had those old scriptures, and they said, "You know what? The one that they were looking for, we found him." So they were searching. They're talking about, like, I don't know if you ever talk about end times. I don't know if you sometimes, if you're sitting in a group and you go, "Oh, the end times," and you try and work things out, and then you're getting yourself in a knot. But you kind of enjoy it. Well, they were like, "I wonder what the Messiah, the Saviour, be like. What will he look like? What will he be wearing? When do you think, where is he going to come from?" "Well, they say he's going to come from here or that, Nazareth." And wait a minute, watch this. This is, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So he says that statement. Nazareth? Broadfield? "Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. You see? It's that kind of statement. And often we wear, you know, when I took some boys to a camp years ago, when I was probably, I don't know how old I was, probably a teenager. And I put them in the car and took them to a Christian camp. And we were laughing in the car when they driving. I was driving along, and they were talking about the town I come from. It's like, and they said, "Yeah, it's like the toenails of humanity, isn't it?" It's like the worst place going, and that's how they were describing where they came from. So it's like, can anything good come from that? From Nazareth? It must have been like they all looked down on it. It was like, oh, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. So they're talking about, come and see. So that's what we can do. Come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, because he just spoke his mind and he said what is said, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." So he said what came in his head. He just spoke it. He spoke it as it was. And Jesus said, "Yeah, you speak what you think." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Now he's interested, because he's kind of said this, and that could be just a generalized statement, couldn't it? Then Jesus goes at this. "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." I saw you before Philip even told you about me. How was that for a shocker for him? That woke him up. I saw you before Philip even told you about me, sitting under that tree. Well, he that was only a little while back, about a minute ago or a day ago or whatever it was. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Huge statement. Straight away he knows who he is from that. "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Bang. "Can anything good come out of there?" Jesus just goes, "Yeah, I saw you when you were sitting under the tree." He's won over like that. That's Jesus. He could just say something that would just transform your mind with one statement. And Nathanael didn't need much more convincing after that, did he? He was searching for him. Jesus spoke that word of knowledge, or whatever it was you call it, straight into his life, and he was like, "Whoa, never mind Nazareth, you are the real deal. And and then Jesus says this to him. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. Jesus sort of sometimes, he's quite straight, isn't he, back? He's not always like, oh, there you go. You believe in because I said I saw you before I met you. And you know it's true. And you shall see greater things than that. So you'll see even better than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's like, wow. You're going to see much more. I think he's convinced at this point. And he's given him sort of like, he's kind of given him a little taster. But he says, you know what? You're going to see greater and greater to Nathanael. And so Nathanael's, he's there, he's in. Count me in, Jesus. I'm one of yours. And when Jesus speaks, and when you're seeking, he can speak into our lives and he can transform our lives, because they were looking, but now they found the real thing, and now they're in. And Nathanael's like, you know, he's going to follow, isn't he? Peter's going to follow. They're all going to follow, even though they sort of turned away a little bit when Jesus was arrested. They're in it. They're in it till death, really. But I'm going to call it a day on that. But conversations, I think when we search and when people are looking, and it's difficult sometimes because, you know, sometimes when you meet people and talk to them, and even like when we did street pastors, if someone's trying to say something, sometimes people you end up in an argument. They kind of, it's like an argument about Christianity, and it's a bit like meeting the Pharisees. You're going to have an argument and no one's going to convince anyone, and you're trying to just fight your corner and try and outsmart the others. But then you get other times when people are searching, and those are the more fruitful places to be, aren't they? When people are looking, and we can say, do you know what? I can show you Jesus. And when people are open and seeking, that's the fertile ground. And when they are closed and just being antagonistic, that's the hard work ground. That's like the Pharisees. But you never always know, because sometimes even in that, a word can change a situation. So I'll pray and then we'll finish. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you spoke into people's lives. You spoke truth into them. You spoke hope into their lives. You spoke destiny into people's lives. And those that thought they knew it all and thought they had the answers and thought they were self-righteous, you showed them the truth too. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We just pray that you would help us with our conversations with others and with our conversations with you, Lord. We'd help us to seek you and be open to you, to actually be able to learn more of you in our walk. In Jesus' name, amen.